such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome, TGIF. Thank God.
It's Friday.
Wow. Where's Christina?
She's working.
Is she coming down?
She's coming down,
okay.
She told me that to just go downstairs.
She's going to fly. She said, just get out of my way. Right. Let me get my work done so I can get in
stuff.
There. Okay, good. Oh, my gosh. Tony, what do we make of the world today? I don't know.
Yeah. Man.
I find more and more people take me aside, and they just want to know. You know, I've mentioned this before, so this just comes to mind, but this happened yesterday, too. And it happens a lot.
It does.
But the... this woman, I've made mention of this because this was really kind of a little bit odd, right. I thought. I was in the supermarket, and I'm wearing my the Roman collar. I'm dressed as a priest, and a woman pulled me aside, or she said something like, she pulled me aside. She
right.
said,
hey.
Do you mind if I ask you a question? I says, no. Why? She said, what do you think's happening? Do you, you know, the world, is everything's crazy, and... What does it mean? And I said, well, what do you think? You know, as you start by saying, you know, I'm not a religious person, but don't you think something's not right? You know, and asked what she thought, and you know, but anyway, the point is that yesterday somebody came to me as well and just said, guy, I just need to ask you, you know, what do we do? Where do we go? What do we believe? You know, just based on the stuff that's going on all around us, you know, politically speaking, the just this unbelievable divide in the country, the anger, the angst, the hostility, and you ask people at least I've seen this, you know, where people are asked, well, what's the issue? What's the problem? Mm-hmm. And I mean, today, of course, it's with the president. The president's a president. He's the president. You know, I respect the office of the president. It seems to be he's gotten a lot done, and he's got his own quirks and his own ways. I'm here to defend the president, but it just seems like things are just have been taken to a dangerous extreme.
I think people want a reason to just be negative now.
To hate?
To hate, to be negative, to whatever. It's just to fight. I mean, I think there's just, it's looming. It's looming on the horizon. It's just waiting for that push.
But why is that? Why?
I don't know. Maybe evil is just at its point. It's almost going to win. Maybe that's the end. I don't know.
So that was, you know, I told a woman, a young woman, very devout, very good. Mm-hmm. And she's, I told her, remember... The Anawim, we talk about that all the time. The Anawim, because this is even within the church, you know, it's like, where's the passion? Mm-hmm. Where's the faith? Where's the sense of orthodoxy, you know, truth?
I think in a weird sense, we're seeing old ways disappear. And although these new things spring up, you almost have to sit back and say, when did it happen? And then you can tell. If you go, you know, you trace it backwards, you can say, this has been brewing for years, and it's now finally coming to a head.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
That's what it feels. And it's like, I don't know if it's just a part of getting older where, you know, you're not, you know, I don't know what they say, you just react right away. But when you sit and you have that space to think and to really, like, critically look at something, not really take a side, but just look at it as a whole, you kind of see where everything has fallen into place. And then I believe at this point it's too late.
It's too late.
I don't know if things can be reversed.
Too late. That's a good question. You know, I say that it's going to take an act of God.
Yeah.
To either, well, I say one of two things is happening, as I was just sharing with, and see, this woman is a very young woman, mm-hmm. young woman, so we're not talking about
right.
old people. You're not old.
It's funny, too, because I have younger friends that, and I was just talking to somebody, you know, yesterday saying, wow, it seems like time is speeding up. You know, it's like, yeah. it was Monday, now it's Friday.
Yeah.
It was June, now it's July.
When the young people say that, right. that's, yeah. Right.
And that's like, I pay attention to that, because if I'm, I can see that as an older person, because, you know, you're getting near your end of the journey.
Well, I think it's because we've got this technology, and yeah. so you just, you know, you can't get away from the noise. You got to pull yourself away. In fact, that's the reading yesterday mm-hmm. in the Mass throughout the Catholic world. This is going to be a reading that's the Gospel coming up this Sunday, mm-hmm. where Jesus, where the apostles, they go to the Lord. They want to tell Jesus what they've done, what they've seen, what they've heard, and he says, come and let's go to an out-of-the-way place and away from all the activity, away from the hustle, the bustle, away from the crowds, so we can just rest, mm-hmm. pray, talk, share, listen, you know, speak to each other. So that's the Gospel coming up this Sunday, but mm-hmm. yesterday it was this is very beautiful. Those simple words of Jesus, come to me, all you who labor and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Father.
Speaking of rest, right? What'd you get the money for? You got a lot of money there.
Put some money down.
If you don't see me, yeah. I'm going to be skipping.
Yeah, what's
town.
That for?
That's why I came late.
You somebody, must trust us, huh?
Because taking care of some business.
She's got all this money in her hand. I see a $50 bill there, and what's underneath that? 50, 10.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh. but it's for...
So where are we going?
Lunch is on Christina?
Yeah, lunch is on me.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's why I was late, because somebody came in to make a payment.
Okay.
For
that's why you wanted Tony out of the office.
Yeah. Get out.
Go. And I was finishing a call, and then the doorbell rang, so it's
sure.
like... The reading is so appropriate.
Always
it's
working.
Been busy. This morning has been so busy. Well, it's always busy.
It's always life is. It's, yeah. We were just talking about that before you mm-hmm. came in. You know, even young people like yourself. You know.
Yes, and I'm not that young.
Well, you're still young in my eyes. So, but it's true. You know, it's just so much going on. But to get back to, well, I guess mm-hmm. we just
pick up where you left.
Pick up where we left off. I suspect. Because somebody says, you know, we're talking about serious Catholics, mm-hmm. People who take their, who love the church, love
the faith,
the living traditions of the church, the
yes.
faith. See, the beauty of Catholicism is I always make reference to the mystical body, but it's mm-hmm. the family of God that we're bound by, that we're united and bound, and we form a family in the blood of Christ, right? In the blood of yes. Christ. And so this, to be part of this living, mm-hmm. breathing, dynamic tradition that is lived in the here and the now of life's trials and tribulations and the persecutions and the battle and all that, but knowing that, you know, above us and beyond us are those who have survived mm-hmm. the trials and the tribulations. Let me go back, because what comes to my mind immediately is the image of the saints in heaven from the Book of Revelation, where mm-hmm. where John is a prisoner on Patmos, on the island of Patmos, mm-hmm. and he's in prison because he had given witness to Jesus, you know, to the faith, and so he was in prison, whereas the others were martyred. You know, the apostles were martyred, and many of the Christians, but he was imprisoned. He didn't die a martyr. And so in this, as he was incarcerated, he was in this in the cave. I went to that cave, and he has this vision, this epiphany, this religious experience, so profound and so graphic that he writes from that the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. In fact, and I don't say it all the time anymore, but I, you know, I, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. That comes, that's how he opens up the book. I, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. But in the midst of that, so what happens is he's taken into the heavens, heaven opens up, so he's taken into the worship of God, and the into the communion of saints, kind of as an observer. So he's taken up into the place of victory, the place of peace and perfect joy, and then he's brought back down onto the into the earth where there's the battle and the bloodshed, and the falsehood. The devil and his minions, and then of course the Christians who are fighting the good fight, right? And so this is constantly going up and down, back and forth. But at some point, you know, he sees all these people, and they're all gathered around the throne of the Lamb, and there are four elders in heaven, and they say to one of them says to John. He says, who are these people? Where have they come from? And John says, well, sir, you know better than I. And the gentleman said, the elder said, well, these are the ones who have survived. They've survived the time of persecution. They've survived the trial and the tribulation. They've survived the distresses of life because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, which really is a reference to their participation in the sacred mysteries, which is what but the Holy Mass, where we're being in a perpetual way, in a renewed way, washed in the blood of Jesus, our salvation, our redemption. He died once and for all to save us, to redeem us from our slavery to sin and death. We're still sinners. We talked about that yesterday, right? We've been making confessions all week about using bad words, about our addiction to politics. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we, me, you, too, Tony. Christina's a little bit wiser. She stays away from all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But, and I've got to keep attuned to what's going on. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think this is absolutely necessary for me, you know, because you kind of know what's going on. Sure. I'm not going to put my head in the sand,
no,
right?
No.
And then, of course, we'll inform you, Christina, and let you get a little crazy like the rest of us. You know,
but, just pray.
Yeah, get to pray. But the point is that we're in this time of tribulation and trial, persecution. This is nothing new under the sun. It's always been. I was reading a beautiful article the other day that if the church isn't struggling, then she's not a church. Christianity without struggle is not Christianity.
It's true.
And Jesus, he didn't hold anything back telling us this. Mm-hmm. So it's, but to the point of this this woman who asked me yesterday, very good, devout, sincere, humble, deeply prayerful woman who is, in my opinion, a chosen soul. In the sense that her faith is lived so deeply, she's almost like, and her mother too, actually, her mother, they're two, the whole family, a beautiful family, but I call the mother Anna. Her name isn't Anna, but she comes to Mass every day. We have a number of these Annas.
Yes.
This is kind of a nice thing about the church, and we see it here all the time, so we have in the gospel Simeon and Anna, the prophet and the prophetess. And when the Blessed Virgin Mary brings the baby Jesus together with St. Joseph to the temple for the presentation, Simeon, he says, Master, let me die. Let your servant go now in peace. Let me die in peace, because my eyes have seen the salvation of my people, a light to the nation. And so he was moved by the Holy Spirit, right? So this is really kind of goes back to the reading that we had yesterday. Come and you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. So there will be this moment in time when we're called out of time into eternal rest and peace, away from the trials and the tribulations and the distresses and the persecutions and the struggles of life, you know. But before we come to that, Jesus, he wants that we have Sabbath, that we have rest, because he knows what we're made of, and he knows the world we live in.
Yeah.
So that was Simeon, and Simeon was a prophet, mm-hmm. who spent his time in the temple, mm-hmm. in perpetual prayer. And then there was also the widow, Anna, who had been widowed at a very, very young age, never married, but spent the whole of her life in prayer. You know, so she was constantly went to the temple. I forgot, 80 some years, I think. That's a long time.
Yes.
Wow.
And so she too, you know, she was moved by the Spirit, and she is able to put her eyes on the Christ. And of course, the Simeon said, the child, as he looks to the mother, he says, "Woman, this child of yours is destined for the fall and the rise of many, a sign that will be rejected. And a sword, woman, will pierce your heart, mother. A sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare." So the point is, you know, that this is the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Church is a suffering church. It shares in the sufferings of Christ. When we want things to be comfortable, or when we want just the the pick and choose what's nice and easy, mm-hmm. you know, yesterday we were saying that Jesus didn't tiptoe through the tulips. I use that imagery all the time. He wasn't like Tiny Tim, if you remember Tiny Tim. Didn't he sing a song like that or something? I don't know.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
With his ukulele.
Yeah.
It was years ago, many years ago. Crazy.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Kind of creepy. Yeah.
But anyway, the point being is that, so this young woman came to me and said, "What is happening? And what does it mean? And what do we do?" She was visibly disturbed by what's happening all around us.
Mm-hmm.
So you may ask, well, what is happening? I'm assuming everybody knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just we live in a crazy world.
Yes.
I was listening this morning, or I read an article, and then I heard it actually on a show this morning as I was getting ready for the day. These families who now have their children, and they don't identify the child, whether the child mm-hmm. is a boy or a girl, and they call them something. I forget what they use, what word they use to identify them. But they're going to leave it for the children to decide for themselves.
What's makes perfect sense
now? Sure, you know what they want, who they are, what they want to be, and this is there's schools that will not identify a boy as a boy, mm-hmm. or a girl as a girl.
Even the bathrooms they go where, whichever bathroom they identify or they're. Whatever they are.
Just an example.
No,
or like I spoke to a woman today too, came into the office, and I've known her for many, many years. She works in the soup kitchen, and mm-hmm. she said the same thing. She said, "My gosh," she said, "what is happening?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Who would have ever thought?" She just brought up the example of, you know, these killings that take place in the schools, mm-hmm. and in different places. And she said, and she brought it up to me how, you know, in her day, and I thought, well, yeah, in my day too, you know, I didn't have a gun or a rifle. I wasn't mm-hmm. a hunter, but when I was in high school, many of the my friends were you know, hardcore Southern,
hunters,
sportsmen in that sense, and
mm-hmm.
and so they would drive their trucks to school. You know, they were mm-hmm. of age. They were 16. They had their license. They had their trucks. And they had mm-hmm. in the back of the window, visible to everybody, their rifles. And, you know, and nobody ever thought that that would become a weapon
for
the killing of
humans,
your fellow classmates yeah. or whatever. So the fact, or you think of Great Britain in its day, this is even when I was a child, as I understand, the police didn't even carry guns.
Right.
They didn't carry guns. They just had
billy clubs.
There's no guns. Contrast that to what's happening today, or even in our own schools, aside from what they're inculcating, what they're mm-hmm. teaching, this garbage.
So somebody, one of our parishioners sent me a video of the same topic. What is this world coming to, and how long will the Lord, you know, let this happen, you know,
right.
continue this way? The same things you're bringing up. And this other one, very disturbing in Colombia, they have built a church in honor of Satan, where they worship him. And they even had a parade. I don't know if you saw that video where they had a parade. They had this huge image of Satan, and they're
yeah.
Praying.
In Colombia. But then there's the thing that's going on in New Orleans.
And then there's that thing going on in New Orleans.
In a convent. It was a former convent.
Which
that it's become a coven. Or,
wow. Yeah.
And they're having a...
witchcraft.
Yeah.
And occult.
The occult.
Yes.
And see, we know, you know, that the call for exorcisms...
Yes.
...has risen unbelievably so. Mm-hmm. So much so that the Vatican is actually training exorcists, ordaining or commissioning... Mm-hmm. exorcists, because
yes.
you can't not just any priest can do an exorcism.
No.
So, you know, I'll say, well, there's nothing new under the sun, and mm-hmm. there, to a certain extent, that's true. But there has been a radical change.
Yes.
And as we started by saying that, you know, as we opened the show, that the divide in the country,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that you just cannot freely speak anymore, because you're shouted down or you're you're immediately, if you don't, see, it was, I go back to when I was, even this, in the seminary, even within the church, you know, there were the progressive, so-called progressive, I like that word, progressive, like we are not locked in the Middle Ages, or we're not bound to antiquity, or we're not, but we've progressed, we've matured, we've evolved, you know, there's this evolution, and so we're superior to you people
right.
who still hold to the things of the past. And so there are many priests, many nuns in those days, and many of them have left, and many of them were in formation, were actually forming priests and religious sisters, and they ended up leaving, and many of the mm-hmm. communities have died, religious communities have died. It was so crazy, but their big thing was always, as it is today with the left, you know, dialogue, diversity, everybody's mm-hmm. got to be, you know, but if you don't, it's not a dialogue at all, it's mm-hmm. a monologue.
Yes.
You got to speak the way I speak, you've got to, believe what I believe, and if you don't, then you're written off.
Mm-hmm.
And when they write you off, then they, besmirch you,
mm-hmm.
and you're considered, you know, all those phobias, right?
Uh-huh.
Islamophobe, homophobe.
Pick a phobia.
Pick any phobia, yeah.
Exactly.
We got to take a break, because I see Armin's coming down the corridor, and that means I've got to take a break. I'm sorry. I knew that was going to happen. I am obedient, you know, but not perfectly so.
Right.
We will be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change, one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we depressingly... Woe is us, or our pessimist. No, I have a lot of hope because I know God is in charge. And so this is, I go back to this woman who came and said, what do we do? What do we do? This is crazy. What do you think's going on? Like that woman in the store, that was some years ago that happened, but I find more and more people are asking me, how do we be? How do we be? And it's how we just got to be. We got to be who we are as believers. We don't cave, we don't compromise, when most have. And you have to be quite honest about that. Most Christians, most Catholics have, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
I would say.
You know, and so it brings me back to this, and I was really, woke up, actually, at 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up thinking about this. I had this in my mind, where Jesus says, many are called, few are chosen. So this brings us back to the Anawim, you know, that God will ensure for himself a small flock who carries a faith. And as Pope Benedict said, and I've mentioned this many times, that the false deities, the false gods, will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. So in response to the woman, and in response to all of you, because I suspect that you're thinking or asking the same question, what do we do, or what's happening, or how do you make sense of all this? First of all, what's happening? One of two things. First of all, we do know that there's been a very rapid, very deliberate movement away from the faith of the church or the traditions that have been time-tried and tested. Biblical teaching what the Lord laid out for us. In fact, it's interesting because when Jesus, and I think that's in the gospel this Sunday, when he says, go, he sends the apostles, he says, so it's not just about, you know, I profess belief in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You can't stop there because Jesus says, the gospel says, he taught them, let's see if I got it right here. He taught them many things. And Jesus begins to teach them many things. That's the gospel. That's this Sunday's gospel. That's right. I got all stuff all over here. So the Gospels, they gathered together Jesus, report all that they had done and all that they had taught. And he said to them, Jesus says, as he's saying to us, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Of course, the people were following him. But people saw them leaving, and many came to know about, okay, that's I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'm trying to find this the part here where it says, in any case, he taught them many things. The Gospel, he taught them many things, and he says, go therefore, make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, all that I have commanded you. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for us as Catholics, certainly, it's just not about, it's certainly a profession, profess our belief in Jesus. It's not just a profession of faith in Jesus, but we profess our faith in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We profess our faith in His mystical body, the Church. Its perfection is hidden in Christ, right? Its holiness, the Church's holiness, her holiness is hidden in Christ. We say her, she, because she's espoused to the Lord. It's not an it, but it's a living entity. I shouldn't even say an entity, but it's a living organism, a living body, right? It's a family. But that perfection, that holiness is hidden in Christ in the communion of saints, those who have survived because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, so they've survived the time of trial and tribulation. Today, it's just like there's so many people, even when you've got the people within the Church, it's like they don't, so often, so many in so many places, they don't want you to rock the boat. They don't want the full counsel of God. They want just the soft things, the comfortable things, you know. God is love, and that's it, you know. God is love, I can do what I want. Because it's kind of translated like this. God is love, therefore I can do anything I want. Because it's true, God cannot not love me, but or love us. But we've been reading from the prophet Isaiah all week that indeed, when a people have been chosen by God, have been set apart for a purpose, and we have been, and this is, like, we got to think about this, that when many have gone astray, there are many apostates, the apostasy, the great, it seems like we're in that great apostasy. You know, so even as I say that, I can hear people in the Church, I can hear other priests, I can hear even people in, you know, bishops, say, you know, this is, you're not reflecting the mind of the Church because, you know, this is okay, maybe that. Well, this is the mind of the Church. Mm-hmm. If you pray the Mass, and how can you pray the Mass and not read it, hear it? It's there. And the battle, the call, the struggle, the consecration, the surrender, the entrustment. You know, we've been set apart for a purpose. We're not going to befriend the world. We want to befriend the world. Jesus, he came, he suffered, he died for everybody. So, in a sense, all are called. So I woke up this morning hearing that. Many are called, but few are chosen. So, in essence, as we're still grappling with what's happening in the society and the collapse of Catholic culture. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking the question, what does it mean? What do we do? Well, it's kind of going to the basics of our faith. Jesus, the night before he died, he said, my little flock. My little flock. Mm-hmm. Better that I go that I remain with you. And I call you down this narrow path. It's a difficult path. You're not going to have it easy here. He said that. You're not going to have it easy. It's going to be difficult. But I'll be with you. And he says to the Father, you know, he says, Father, and I've repeated this many times, I find it so beautiful. He says, Father, in his high priestly prayer before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, I thank you, Father, for these you've gifted me with, these you've given to me, not just these, but those who will believe on their word. And I'm asking you not to take them out of the world, not yet, but I do ask you to protect them from the evil one. You know, so this Jesus knows well that as he was afflicted, so too we would be afflicted, right? And those apostles, you know, one of them despaired, Judas Iscariot. By this point, he had already left. He had already set out to betray Jesus. The others were with him. All of them were martyred eventually, all but John. John is imprisoned. But so what we find ourselves experiencing today, to understand it, we've got to go to the basics of our faith. We've got to go to the gospel story. We got to go to the story, the gospel, and know that it's always been to varying degrees. And so, one of two. So I was speaking to the young woman yesterday. I said, "Okay, I think. What do you?" She said, "What do you think? What's?" I said, "One of two things is happening. On one hand, no doubt, we've terribly deviated. People have walked away in droves. In droves. All you have to do is read article after article. You know, it always comes up here in Europe in a big, big way, but it's getting to be a big way here in the United States as well. So there is this terrible deviation, this apostasy, this going away, and succumbing to idolatries, all kinds of idolatries, the gods and the goddesses of Hollywood, money, perversion, the free reign of the flesh, or it could be, you know, as I was saying the other day, confessing my addiction to politics, you know, that I could get so immersed in that I fail to make the proper space needed to nurture more deeply my relationship with God. And I do, I nurture that, but I mean, I don't want to become obsessed and disturbed, overly disturbed by the things going on. I have to remember that the source of my peace, our peace, is to hear Jesus say, come away by yourselves into a deserted place and rest a while now and tell me what you've seen, tell me what you've heard, tell me what's going on, and listen to me. Listen to me, help you make sense out of this. And I guess that's what I'm trying to do here on the radio as well, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to do. What is happening is happening. This is a reality. And it might be that, as you said, Tony, and I would concur with that, either we come to our senses, and I don't know how that's going to happen. It seems like it's not going to happen because of the power of the media, the power of social media, the power of cyberspace, or God is going to manifest himself in a just and loving way, and this would be a merciful way to save us from ourselves, maybe bring us to rock bottom, to the abyss, in order to, I say, okay, you know, as we find in people's lives anyway, when they hit rock bottom, it's all of a sudden they come running to mm-hmm. the church. We mm-hmm. know this all the time. You know, help me, look at that. My marriage has fallen apart, or it's fallen apart, it's gone. Whatever. On one hand, where have you been? You know, if they don't, you know, because you got to admit that you've walked away from God in most cases. This is what's happened. It's amazing what people would say, you know, I promise I'm going to go to Mass, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know, because we're going to, in a sense, I'm going to placate God in order to get back what was taken away from me, what I lost. Mm-hmm. And I says, and I have to remind him, it's not easy. What it means is you've got to recultivate the discipline of the faith in your life. And initially they may do that, but they fall away because mm-hmm. they're too caught up in the stuff of the world.
Yeah. It's like that young man, what must I do to inherit?
Inherit life everlasting. Yeah. And at least he was obeying the commandments of God.
Obeying the commandments.
Because Jesus said, well, have you obeyed the yes. laws of God? And he said, yes, of course, since I was young. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, that's good, but I want you to do more. I want you to give me your life. Give me. And he went away sad because he had many possessions. But Jesus looked on him with love, you know?
Yeah. And so, we all have we have attachments, or like what you said. These different attachments to, and what we have to do is, it's not easy. let go and attach ourselves to him.
I think it's the actual act of doing. That's what, if most people would just stop for a minute and think and just do, make the attempt. Once you start, once you learn about your faith, once you realize that there's something greater than you. That's what you always hope. Somebody just takes that first step, but then it's hard. Of everything it's that's hard. Around, we you just keep ask. Falling back.
We have to pray and ask for the grace.
We've got to rediscover the gift that the faith is, you know, and I'm going to suggest we'll take a break and come back. But and I want to give the second. So I say on one hand, it's either, you know, we come to our senses. Mm-hmm. Or God, or there's this manifestation, God will manifest himself in justice and mercy in order to bring us down, in order to lift us back up. And that would be a chastisement, right? Or punishment, however you want to call it. Now, people absolutely don't want to talk about that today. Priests do not want to talk about that. They say, no, this is, and I can hear, I'm hearing a voice already in my head that says, this does not reflect the mind of the church. Well, I beg to differ with you because it's written from the beginning to the end of sacred scripture, and it's always been the dogma of this is the love that God has for us. You know, I mean, what he's taken love to the extreme. He laid down his life. He says, "What more can I do to convince you that I love you and that I redeem you, I save you?" But I need your response. It does cost us something. Many are called, few are chosen. But we're those who respond and understand the election that we've been chosen, not to be superior to, but to suffer the faith, to participate in the sufferings of Jesus, and really our life is lived with that same cry from the cross, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They're lost. They've been manipulated by the evil one, the deceiver, the seducer. He creates the illusion. Jesus said he's a father of lies, a prince of darkness, a prince of this world. Forgive them. And forgive me. If you forgive us. Anyway, got to take a break. So, but the other thing that may be happening, when I come back, I'll talk about that. And if that's the case, then we better wake up. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what that's all about. Okay. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listen Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Floors as low. Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as
St. Stan's,
sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up, $3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I was speaking about this young woman, deeply religious, just a good, humble, prayerful person who really has a vocation to pray and I think to suffer. I go back to the words of Pope Benedict, and I do believe this because I believe. I bet you everybody who's listening to the radio right now, we all share in this. We're suffering the faith. We're simple believers, humble believers. I'm not patting myself on the back or patting you guys on the back, but I'm just saying that that's the way it is because we have the faith. And the Pope said, Pope Benedict, that the false deities, the false gods, will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. We're suffering. Why? Because we see what the culture is doing to the people. Mm-hmm. Enslaving in a wide variety of ways. Creating division, destruction, psychologically toying with or toying with a psychosexual development of people. I mean, gosh, you don't have to, you just look around, you see it. Mm-hmm. And you suffer that. You look in your own family and you say, mm-hmm. My gosh, you know, what could I do to keep you from going down this path that is going to end up destroying you, you know? And I don't know that there's a family that's spared that because this is the world we live in. And it has deteriorated, as we alluded to that fact just a little while ago. And so we suffer, you know, because we know that Jesus said that it's a difficult path. It's a very difficult path. And few can stay on this path. And St. Peter said, how can man be saved? And Jesus said, but for man it's impossible. But see, the more we stay on the path, the easier it is, because it's not just Jesus who says, I will lighten the burden, but as we allow him to reproduce his life in us, to live in us, then we assist each other. And that's what we got to do, you know, the Anawim, the little flock that's trying to keep faith. Again, it's not about being superior to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about, and how many times have I heard people say, you know, a mother says, you know, give me this suffering, whatever it may be, in order that my son or my daughter is saved or come to freedom, that they have peace. I hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. I hear this all the time. People who are willing or even asking for some kind of suffering in order to expiate the suffering or the bondage of a loved one, you know? But the, so it's, we suffer for what's happening, what we see happening. We suffer for the children. And how many people, how many of you out there, if you could go back today and be 12 years old, how many would do it? Would you do it, Tony?
I'd do it.
You would?
I think I would.
To go back?
I don't know why.
I think.
But knowing what you know now.
Oh, no.
I was thinking about what you just asked, because like you said the other day, we, how many of us
to hide
want to go back to that innocence? I would like to go back
to the innocence,
of a child, to be trusting. And it's interesting because children, they want to grow and be adults, but when we become adults, we want to go back to our
child. Right, but you get the point I'm trying to make is to have to put up with what the children have to put up today, with what they're up against.
What they're up against today, I would not want to.
I want to go back to my time, what it was.
Different, go back to.
Because I think, exactly. So that's a different, that's a whole different thing. So I'm thinking like when Jesus says, you know, if you lead the little ones astray, the innocent, if you lead them astray, he said, it's better that a millstone be put around your neck and be thrown in the sea and drowned. And yet, what are we doing in our society today? We rip the most innocent of all from the wombs of their mothers. What we're teaching our children at the earliest ages is I mean, we're going to suffer for this.
Yep.
We're going to suffer it. But so anyway, so I say either we come to our senses or there's a manifestation of God, just and merciful and loving, because he loves us and because he is merciful, he is just, in order to bring us to our senses. If we're going to be obstinate, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, as has been the case throughout history, and God intervenes at some point. Or, as I told the young woman, maybe we are at the end of time. And again, if anybody says, that doesn't reflect the mind of the church, I mean, we pray, every time we pray the Mass, we anticipate Jesus coming at the end of all things, at the end of time. There's a whole season for that, the season of Advent. Mm-hmm. So why do we not speak about that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't that, you know, we're not going to be a fundamentalist who, you know, predict, you know, the day, the hour. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we have to read the signs of the times. Mm-hmm. And it should awaken us. And in fact, you know, the world may go on 500 years. It may go on 5,000. It may go on 500,000 years. But how many more years do I have?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then he said we have to be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Vigilant.
The Mass is a vigilant prayer. Mm-hmm. But I do think of the words of Pope John Paul II, before he was raised to the chair of Peter, and I've mentioned this many times on the radio, but I always go back to this to try to make sense out of what's happening today. Mm-hmm. When he said, I don't think that the world, the Christian world, realizes that we are now in the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between the Christ and the antichrist. And he said, all this is under the dominion of God's providence. And this is a trial we have to endure. We have to endure. We have to keep faith. I think of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, when Jesus went to her in the 1930s and said, you know, she became the secretary of the Divine Mercy, and she had the locutions and some apparitions of our Lord. And he said that, and we don't have time, even how this is related to the apparitions of Our Lady and Fatima to the three children, because there is a relationship. There's a progression to this revelation. It's not a new revelation. It's very biblical, but it is the prophetic, helping us to read the signs of the times. And Jesus says this is a time of mercy, before the day of justice. And so I'm giving humanity an opportunity to wake up, to return to God. This is what Our Lady said at Fatima. There will be no peace if we do not return to God. We got to pray for conversion and for peace. But Jesus says, this is a time of mercy. And before the second coming, before I come as the just judge at the end of time. So we're in this time of mercy. All time is a time of mercy, really. But he did say, he said that a spark would come out of Poland and prepare the world for my second coming. That was in the 1930s. Pope John Paul II was raised to the chair of Peter in 1978, I believe it was. And could that have been the spark that came out of Poland? And he opened up the message of the divine mercy. I think of the vision or the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Kibeho in Africa, in Rwanda in the 1980s, where she said the people have deviated, they've gone away from God, away from the faith, and she said there will be consequences, and she said the rivers will flow with the blood of the dead if there isn't immediate conversion, a metanoia, which is a change of heart. And she said, don't think I'm just coming for Kibeho or Kigali or Rwanda or Africa. I'm coming for the whole world to say that we've got to, you know, return to God. Prepare yourselves for the coming of Christ, my son. That's what she said. That was the message. And, of course, the people didn't heed the message there. And there was a headline in the Tribune, 1994, 40,000 bodies pulled from the rivers of Rwanda, the genocide. You know, nearly a million people were macheted to death in a matter of, what, 4 months, I think it was? 3 or 4 months? 2 to 3 or 4 months? A genocide. I think of that stuff, you know, I think of those things. And so many others. So I told, as I'm telling you, you know, it could be. Because we know that at the end, as the church teaches, extrapolating from sacred scripture, that at the end of time, there will be this great, the final great apostasy, which is a going away from the faith, away from God, in mass, you know, this major, big movement away from God, away from the faith, and that the church, the little flock, the Anawim, will have to walk the Via Dolorosa. That's the way of suffering, the way of the cross, and unite her sufferings to the sufferings of Christ for the salvation and the sanctification of the world. And it's going to look in the eyes of the world as if the church has been destroyed. And it's then that Jesus will come and claim for himself what belongs to him. And see, what we do is we bear, this is our participating in the sufferings of Christ. We share in the sufferings of Jesus. And so I say, our whether we speak it or not, from the deep recesses of the soul, we're saying, Father, forgive them. Forgive us. Forgive us. And he knows what the world has made. He knows. See, he's the Lord of history. That's why we're not, it's not pessimism, it's realism that I'm speaking here. My hope, and this is what keeps us on that narrow path, is that God is with us. God has our back. God will never, has never abandoned us. He is our only stability, our constancy. He is the faithful one. And so we choose to stay with him. All right, everybody, we're not going to be back. We're going to leave for right now. Have a nice weekend. Almighty God bless you. Thanks for being with us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time.